Thank you. It's just so good just being in God's presence, isn't it? And, you know, my prayer for all of us this morning, prayer for me, is that we have an encounter with God this morning. And I was given this title. I was really excited because this is something really close to my heart. But I also wanted to put the word encountering God through creation, because I think there's so much more than words that God wants to give us. And if you imagine an example with my wife, when she wants to communicate with me and we're in the house, she doesn't send me a WhatsApp message that I can just read. You know, we sit down and we look each other in the eyes and we spend some time connecting and engaging whilst using words. And I think so often we can think of God, you know, he just wants to download information or download a new commandment or a law to us. But actually he wants to have encounters. He wants to spend time with us in the way we do with our children or they do with us. And my heart for us this morning is that we'd have an encounter with God. And I really believe he's got something for us this morning where he just wants to open our hearts and our minds to a different possibility of how we could experience him in our day-to-day lives. You know, for me, the main way I connect with God is by being outside. And I know we're all wired differently and different personality types, but, you know, it's the first place I go. If I need to hear a word from God, the first place I go is for a walk. If I need some wisdom, if I need some direction, if I just want to pray, I get outside. And we're very lucky in Spain, the weather does help that. But even when I lived in England, it doesn't matter, whatever the weather, I need to be outside to hear God. And who here enjoys being outside, walking in the mountains? I imagine a lot of us do. You know, I think there's something that takes us back to our roots. There's something that takes us away from the busyness of the world, all the noise, and just stills us. And I've got sort of about 8 minutes to explain something I could probably preach on till Christmas. So you have to bear with me rushing through stuff. But all through the Bible, through the Old Testament, when God wanted to speak to people, he took them away. You know, when he wanted to speak to Elijah, God spoke to Elijah and says, go to a mountain. And you think, why can't he just give the information there? And he takes Elijah on this long journey. You can read about it. Eventually takes him to a mountain where there's an earthquake and a fire and a shaking. And finally, we know the famous still small voice. But there's something about taking Elijah out of his context to a new place where God wanted to encounter him and impart something into him. You know, and we can't hear God's whisper when we're surrounded by noise. You know, this photo I took in one of my favourite places I've been to. Sorry, the one before, that's not my photo, unfortunately. The not so good one on this side. And this is the Pacific coast of Canada. And this photo just captures for me just something of the beauty and wildness of God and the mystery of God. And we all know the phrase, don't we? A picture tells a thousand words. But for me, I can still remember myself being there. And I can show you that, but I can't let you in on what the ocean sounded like or what the smell was or just the sense of power or the sense of wildness. You know, you had to be there. And I think experiencing something is so much more than me just talking to you from the pulpit. There's something much deeper that we get. And in that moment, God spoke to me so much through that experience. You know, I think we have to be honest sometimes. And if we're honest, who here in this room, this will be a real test of honesty, has ever been bored in a church meeting? Was it last week when Matt was preaching? This isn't being recorded. No, I have lots of times. I grew up in church and I was continually bored. But I love the church. I don't want you to hear me wrong here. I'm passionate about the church. But I find I don't always encounter God in this 2-hour block of time in the way I do in other areas of my life. You know, meeting together is such an important thing, but it's about 1% of our Christian experience. And really, for many Christians, it's 100% of their Christian experience. You know, I've got a friend, when I was in Liverpool, a few of my friends, we love the mountains, and we live quite close to the Lake District in Snowdonia. Whenever I had a free weekend, we'd go up and climb a mountain together. And I've got a friend called Rob, and he's a really good guy, incredible mountaineer, really fit guy. And we'd often talk about God and things, and why he wasn't interested in God. And one day he just said to me something really profound, and I've put it up on the next slide. And he said, Chris, I'd rather be in the mountains thinking about God than in church thinking about the mountains. And I totally got that because I feel exactly the same. And I felt bad saying it because Christians shouldn't say that, should they? But maybe we should say that. Maybe there's nothing wrong in understanding that. And I want to unpack that a little bit this morning. You know, Rob understood something that church is really everything that happens outside of this little block of time. You know, church is our whole life. And we should expect to encounter God in every part of our lives. You know, so many times I'll be in the supermarket and God will just hit me with his love or word as I'm doing my shopping. Or, you know, when I'm driving on the school run, you know, God wants to encounter lives in every single second. And we really miss this because we're not Jewish. And Jesus was Jewish, grew up in a Jewish culture. The whole Old Testament was written in a Jewish culture and context. And the Jews were very holistic. They understood that everything had significance. They even had a prayer for when you go to the bathroom, thanking God for your bowels working correctly. You know, they were, every part of their life was connected to God. And what happened at the start of the early church, there was a Greek philosopher called Plato, and he wrote a document called The Republic, and it's from his name we get words like Platonic. And what he wrote, just as the new church was emerging, and it was a church based on freedom away from the law, he wrote this document which said, God is holy, man is inherently sinful. And there's a divide between God and man. And everything on the earth he described as being secular, this is where we get this concept, and everything to do with God is sacred. And the church bought into this thinking, hook, line, and sinker. And, you know, how often do we hear these things? Secular music, Christian music, this and that. Your secular workplace and your Christian ministry. And this all came from Plato, and none of it was God's plan. Because he came from a Jewish mindset where everything's spiritual. It's just as spiritual me cleaning a bathroom or working as an accountant as it is me preaching now. It's just as spiritual me playing football, sometimes more when I score a nice goal, than it is me worshipping, because it's having that awareness and being conscious of God in our lives. You know, David's a great example of this. He learned everything about God by being a shepherd. And a shepherd in that time had, you know, they were lower than a son. You know, when Jesse brings his sons forward, David's not even mentioned as a son. So he probably wouldn't have had any religious experience. He probably wouldn't have been able to go to the temple. So he learned everything about God by being a shepherd, by being outside. And you can see this in his Psalms. He's often talking about creation. And he's using the imagery of like how God speaks to him. You know, in the Old Testament, often God says to the prophets, what do you see? Look at that. Explain to me. Oh, I see a bowl of fruit. Oh, I see this. Well, this means that. You know, he wants us to use our eyes. You know, what made Moses draw aside to listen to God? A burning bush. You know, he didn't walk into a church and hear a sermon. He saw a bush burning and thought, something happening there. I'm going to stop. And he had an encounter with God. You know, Jesus was always doing this. If we can have the next slide, he was always using object lessons to help us understand the kingdom. Look at the sower. Look at this. Here's the bread. Look at the fish, etc. You know, Jesus says, look at the birds. What do you see? He says, consider the birds. Consider how they neither reap nor sow nor store up, but your Father in heaven looks after them. How much more would he look after you? He could have just said, don't worry. Thus says the Lord, ye shall not worry. But he doesn't. He says, look at the birds. And you could study the birds. I love birds. And you can just look at them again and again and get more revelation from God about this concept God wants to get across. You know, being a Christian is the most exciting adventure you can ever go on. It's supposed to be wild. It's supposed to be dangerous. It's supposed to be uncertain. We're supposed to occupy a space that we call mystery, a realm that we call faith. You know, we're supposed to need God desperately all the time. We have to. Otherwise, it's not Christianity. And because of that, he's always ready to speak to us. My life does not work if I'm not daily, every minute of every day, hearing God's guidance, God's wisdom, God's will, direction for my life. You know, the most successful church in the Bible never had the Bible. You know, and I love the Bible. Again, don't hear me wrong. I love the Bible. But sometimes we rely too much on that. And God wants us to have a personal encounter. Matt talked about being witnesses. You know, if we think of a court of law, when they call the witnesses, a witness is somebody who's seen and experienced something, not something they've read. You don't call a witness forward to read something they read in a book in a library. They recount an experience that happened to them. We're called to be witnesses. And when you look through the Bible, most of the famous people, all the heroes of the faith didn't have the Bible. They were writing the Bible with their own lives. You know, Abraham didn't have it. Moses obviously writ some of the Bible. You know, David, when he was having a down day, didn't think, oh, I'm really struggling with my faith today. I know, I'll read a psalm. You know, he hadn't written them yet. You know, he wrote that, and I'm not knocking that because it's good stuff, but God wants us to get this stuff for ourselves. If we have the next slide. You know, this is a really famous psalm. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, yet they use no words. No sounds heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. And I love these verses because I've been passionate about missions even before I was a Christian. And Matt might correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding from experience and study is that there's not a single people group on the planet that's been contacted that doesn't have some kind of fable, history, or concept of a God that has created creation. So therefore, this verse talks about there's not a people on the earth that can't encounter God through creation. And yet we sometimes dismiss this massive part of God's revelation because now we have the Bible in English or these different things. You know, in the New King James Version, it says in verse 3, it says, there's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And I want to do something really practical. It's a funny one that we're talking about nature sat in a room. And I couldn't guarantee the weather, so I didn't plan something outside. And it's not the most beautiful view of the football field and the trees to meditate on. But what I want us to do, I'm going to show a short video. It's 6 minutes. It's something I found on the internet. A guy's done some time-lapse photography in New Zealand. And what I want us to do is look at these images and really meditate on them. Now, again, sometimes that's not a good word in church because we think, oh, meditate. But actually, it's very biblical. And what it means is just focusing our attention on that, just letting that wash over us, just emptying our mind of all the distractions and being open that the creator of the universe might want to say something to us. So we're going to watch this video. And directly after that, I just want you to just turn around and make a group with the people around you. And for 5 minutes, we're just going to say to each other what you felt God showed you through that video, what he said to you. And at the end, very briefly, Liz is going to go around and we'll get a bit of feedback. So let's just watch this and then let God speak to us. Okay, so let's just turn around to the people next to us and let's just share what we feel God said to us through that for a few minutes, and then we'll share some stuff back together. What we're just going to do, I don't want to cut this short. It'd be great to talk a lot longer, but Liz is just going to run around walk fastly with the mic. If a few people just share something really briefly, just that they got from that. Sam's going to help, I think. Go on. So if you put your hand up, if you've got something you want to say, I'd love to hear from all ages as well. I'd love to hear some of the kids.
Yep. So what did God say to you?
That's very peaceful. I enjoyed that.
Okay, that's great. Who's next? Yeah.
Well, the thing that struck me at the start was it was all day and night. And it struck me that no matter what the situation, however dark it is, there is always light. And then I started thinking, well, can you put yourself in total darkness? And I thought, you can, because you can shut yourself in a house, in a room, and you can be in total darkness. But you can still choose to go into the light, and that's, I don't know if it's next to the caves, but...
Yeah, it's brilliant. Really good. Who else? Yeah. Oh, here.
There was so much to start with. I just would have loved to have been able to put it down, but, you know, write it because it's gone from me. But thinking about the pictures where remind me of the outer universe that we here on Earth, but God is God of the universe, and he's got great things for the different planets and things like that, you know. It's all part and parcel of his creation.
Yeah, brilliant. Anyone else? Any of the kids? What do you say?
Hi, yo.
Sam said that the video made him happy, so that was good. Ruth, let's go around this side.
I know, I'm going around there.
It just struck me that God didn't just create the world and paint a picture and leave it. Everything is moving and changing. Every single thing. There are never two clouds the same. The water's moving. The everything. And it just struck me that how amazing it was, really.
Brilliant. What about one of the kids? What did anyone else think of the video? Anyone? Yeah, you want to say something?
It looked like there was pennies in the water in one of the streams, but it was pebbles, and like it's just that nature is really valuable to us.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. One down here.
It was a way of explaining things about the tranquility of it, and if you had somebody with you, you were walking there, sort of thing, and the light was sort of shining down. It was different stalactites hanging from the caves. It was a tranquility of different changes to more or less what you get in other countries, similar to this one, but in another way.
Yeah, brilliant. Right, one more.
If there's somebody else, go to somebody else. Okay, for me, it was, I felt the Holy Spirit reminded me of a time when Emily, our eldest, was 3 years old. I think she was three or four, and she went out into the garden and looking up at the clouds, and she heard God say, "I love you." And I felt God say, "I haven't changed my mind."
Brilliant. One final one or not? No, don't.
Okay, thanks, Liz. Could the worship guys come up? I'm going to just draw it to conclusion. And yeah, it would have been nice to have a lot longer, but it's just really a snapshot of how this works. And just before I share something I feel like the Holy Spirit's put on my heart as in way of response, I'd just like to really encourage you. The whole thing hopefully I've communicated is just to have an awareness of God in everything. You know, expect to encounter God in everything. You don't have to go to New Zealand to encounter God in nature. You know, I love Sam, my little boy, because he just, whenever we go for a walk, he'll pick up something and say, "Look at that, Daddy." Sometimes cigarette butts, which I don't encourage, but often it's a stone or a shell or a flower, and it's seeing beauty and seeing God in everything, but also not thinking that's childish. And I really want to encourage the kids, you know, that God, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is for the children. We should be like children. You know, Israel's most significant prophet, Samuel, was a child when he started hearing God. And I just really encourage you, God wants to speak to you. He cares about you. And it doesn't have to be some grand thing. It could just be telling you how much he loves you, just affirming you. So just be open to that. But I really feel there's a response this morning for some people. Just during the prayer meeting, the Holy Spirit shared something with me that I think's for the church, but I know it's also for individuals. And he just said to me that he wants to give you all permission. And I think some of you, I know from my experience, we grew up in churches where perhaps we were told the things we can't do. You know, I grew up in a church with lovely people, but it's very much like, this is the world and it's all bad. And there's this small little realm that we live in that we call the church. And actually, it's the opposite. You know, the kingdom of heaven's big, it's expansive. You know, going surfing is as much a spiritual act as me on my knees before Jesus. And I just say God wants to give you permission to explore, permission to do things. Some of you got dreams locked up in your hearts that you thought weren't spiritual enough or thought weren't of God, and actually they are. You know, God's constantly breathing life in my passions and saying, I put them there not to frustrate you, to fulfill you. And I know when I'm fulfilled and when I'm passionate and when I'm full of God, everyone I meet wants to know about Jesus. And when I'm not doing it, I'm just grumpy and no one wants to know about Jesus. And I think God wants to give you permission to be alive, permission to enjoy, permission to celebrate who he's made you. But I feel for one or two of you, we're just going to go into a song, and I'd just like to encourage you to come over to where the ministry team will be. I just feel, you just feel dead. If you're honest, you just feel dead. You've come to church a long time and it's just quite a dry act. And I believe there's great freedom for you this morning. I believe God wants to just release a Holy Spirit bomb that's just going to blow your life open. It's going to be like you've seen the world in black and white your whole life, and God's going to suddenly make it full HD color. And I really believe it's significant. You know who you are, and I'd love to pray with you. But anyone else that just wants to say, almost a statement of intent, I want to encounter you, God, more in my life. I want it to be about every day, every second of my life. I just encourage you to come forward, and God wants to encounter you this morning with his love in a really tangible way. So thank you, Ali. We'll just go into worship, and please come forward, and the ministry team will be somewhere. Yeah, if the ministry team can stand up, prayer team. And let's just use this opportunity. There's a lot God wants to do.